Hi, my name is Sam Williams. Welcome to episode number 177 of May 16 Music Podcast, the Millennial Throwback Machine. So first of all, I'd like to welcome all you to episode number 177 of May 16 Music Podcast, the Millennial Throwback Machine. I'm Sam Williams, and for those of you who are just now discovering this podcast, either on the Apple Podcast app, or in Stitcher, or in iHeartRadio, on Google Play Music, or on Spotify, and you're wondering, so what the heck is this? I'm going to give you a description of what the show's all about. Okay, so I'm Sam Williams, and I'm a 26-year-old songwriter slash producer, but I'm also a huge 60 music fan slash expert slash nerd. Each week with this podcast, I take one song by one artist in the 60s and put the show in two parts. First part of the show, talk about my opinion of the song and why I think it's so good, or why I think it sucks, into my own personal analysis on the arrangement of the song, which will include the chords, melody, and lyrics. And second part in the show, I dig deep into the history behind that track. And that part of the show, talk about who wrote the song, who produced it, what's either the song as a chord, ask like about the musician that played on the song, whether it be the session musicians or band members themselves, talk about the songwriters that wrote the song, and the producer that produced it, and talk about a lot of different things in relation to the history behind the song, the peak position made up a song originally made up of the Blue Hot 100 charts before it came out, the year and month the song was released, the history behind the label the song was released on, all that, and it's the second part of the show. Now, before we move on to this week's episode of the podcast, I have some really exciting news for you guys. The EP is almost done! Yes, actually, it'll probably be done after I record this episode, because after I record this episode, I go into my final recording session for this EP. Yes! It's basically done. I mean, after I record this episode, I go in and lay down lead vocals for the songs, and then we're done. We're absolutely done recording this EP. And then the songs get mixed and mastered, and then they get released. But still, I mean, you know, I really would appreciate it if you guys subscribe to the premium subscription version of my podcast. If you don't know where to find that, the link to that is in the description of this episode of this podcast. Please go do that. And I'm also still offering the special thing. If you subscribe to the premium subscription version of the show, I will send you a couple of those songs off of my upcoming EP, you know, An Old Soul with New and Reimagined Things. I will send you a couple of those tracks, you know, so that way, you know, you guys will get to hear them before the songs come out. But the only way you're going to hear those songs, any of those songs before they come out, is if you subscribe to the premium subscription version of this podcast. And please go do that, you know, because you're definitely not going to want to miss out on this upcoming interview I have with Al Gregoni, you know, the guitar player, you know, session guitar player extraordinaire, played on the Sound of Silence, Simon Garfunkel, Brian and Girl by Van Morrison, playing a ton of really cool stuff. You definitely don't want to miss out on, you know, these that interview. So please go subscribe to the premium subscription version of this podcast. We'd love to if you can do that. This EP is almost done. I have one more session left, and then that's it. It's a wrap. I don't have any more sessions left. So, but as promised, this episode's not going to be super long because, you know, I'm doing a modern group this week, so there's really not much to tell as far as their history, and it's honestly kind of hard to find any background information about this band, to be honest with you, because, you know, I guess they're trying to play more of the mysterious vibe. They don't want people to know much about them. You know, they're just, you know, they're pushing their music and their shows and their merchandise. And they're really not, you know, up there telling people, hey, this is how the band got together. You know, this is some of the biographical information about the guys in the group, your influences. I mean, they're not really forthcoming about that at all. So I'm not going to go into super in much I'm not going to go super in depth into their history because, to be honest with you, I don't really know too much about their history. So most of this episode is going to be me analyzing one of their best songs that they've ever released. And this is a current band, so they're still putting out new music. I mean, they just put out an album this year, but this song I'm doing is actually from their last album that they put out in 2019. So this is a totally new song. It's new. I mean, 2019 was only 3 years ago. So, I mean, this is pretty new, you know, for the kind of stuff I talk about in my podcast. But I'll talk about why I'm going to do one of their songs in just a minute. Okay, so the reason why I'm doing this particular song, because, you know, it's just a beautiful song. It's just amazing. The melody is incredible. The arrangement's incredible. It's definitely a feel-good song. And it's hard to figure out what it's about lyrically, but it definitely evokes the influences of the last group I talked about last week, The Occasions, Girl Watcher. This is, you know, similar kind of feel in terms of the chord changes and the arrangement, but it's just a great song, and I love every aspect of this song. This might be one of my new, you know, if there is a genre out today, you know, new music. I mean, you guys know I haven't really talked about this in my podcast, but I really don't like a lot of current music right now. I mean, you know, it's the talent that went into a lot of these great 60s records is unfortunately gone now, because now we live in an era where everything can be fixed. I mean, doesn't matter if you're shitty, you know, if you're a really bad musician, then guess what? The technology can fix you. If you can't play in time, if you can't sing on key, there's things out there that you can use. Like, you know, our technology today basically allowed us to fix any sort of, if you're a bad musician, easily can be fixed digitally. And it sucks because, you know, gone are the days when you used to have to be really, really good in order to do music. I mean, anybody with a laptop and you know, and a keyboard can make a record now, and a microphone. I mean, like all you need is a USB mic, a MIDI keyboard, and a laptop, and a DAW, and that's it. I mean, literally, it sucks that, you know, back in the day, they used to, you know, huge groups of people used to get together, and they used to like play in the exact same room at the exact same time, and everybody was really good. The arranger was great. The engineer was good. And heck, a lot of stuff, like a lot of hip-hop and rap stuff, there's no, like, guitars, basses, you know, piano, drums, organ, none of that stuff is there. I mean, there's horns, forget about it. I mean, all of it is just, you know, drum machines and synths. I mean, that's a lot of that genre of music, that's what it is. And it's been like that for a good solid 10 years now, since 2010, 2008. I mean, you know, the whole real, you know, organic musician sort of sound, you know, is definitely something that is more underground, and it's not as mainstream as it used to be, with the exception of Silk Sonic. They're the exception to that. But for the most part, it's just been like drum machines and synths for a very long time. And this band, you know, because the thing I want you to keep in mind about this group is that this is not like, you know, a huge band. This isn't like BTS or, you know, or one of those really big popular groups that everybody's familiar with that are scoring huge hits in the Hot 100. These guys are an indie band. So unless you're kind of in the know, or unless you're one of those, you know, hipster guys that likes to go to record stores, or maybe you're from the group, the city the group is from, they're from Seattle, Washington. Unless you're of a certain age and you like, you're a hipster, you're not gonna know about this group. I mean, these guys are obscure for a new band. I mean, they're pretty underground, very indie. You know, in most music that evokes, you know, the sounds of the past, most bands that evoke that sort of historical 60s, 70s sound, most of them are indie, with the exception of Silk Sonic. I mean, Silk Sonic's the, you know, the only major label retro act that's out there right now. Everyone else is pretty current. I mean, if they're not current, they're sampling, you know, older records from the 70s and 80s, but certainly not from the 60s. I mean, this band, The Dip, I mean, they're very, like, they're retro. I mean, when you listen to their songs, you know, they don't sound like, you know, BTS or any major, you know, band out there today. They don't sound like an alternative rock band. They don't sound like a country band. I mean, they don't sound like, you know, I mean, they just have that retro 60s sound. And that's why I honestly love them so much, because there's not too many groups out there that sound like that. And, You know, if this is your first time hearing one of their songs, and you're in for a real treat because these guys are great, and I hope that you enjoy their music, despite the fact that it may not sound current. I mean, these guys sound amazing, and I love this group, and I can't wait to dive into one of their songs. This song came out as an album cut off of their album The Dip Delivers, which came out on February 8th of 2019. The song is called Atlas. For something that came out in 2019, holy shit, man. This is a throwback, but this record has a whole lot of soul in it. Oh, man. I love every aspect of the song. It's just amazing. There's a lot of cool things going on within the arrangement of the song. But there's a lot of, despite the fact that the song came out in 2019, you can draw a lot of comparisons with this song from something from the 60s. And I'll talk more about that when I dive into the arrangement and the song and what musically what it sounds like from the 60s. But let's talk about that for a minute. Okay, so here's the thing. So when you listen to this song, when you hear it, you think to yourself, okay, where in the 60s are they pulling from for songs like this? It's one of those things where it's like, what kind of artists are they kind of trying to, emulate when with songs within this genre? Well, to be honest with you, the whole record is 1,000% Otis Redding, Clarence Carter, that whole thing, right? That's exactly what this record is. Everything from the guitar playing on this song, which is so Jimmy Johnson, so Steve Cropper, that slide, double stop, into the chord changes. It's that whole style is just, it's right there in the song. Musically, it's just, it's so, that Southern soul thing is just, it's right there. And the horns on this record. And look, I mean, to be honest with you, it's my phone that really doesn't do the sound of this record justice because I'm not using an actual audio file. I'm just using, I'm playing something off my phone and recording this into my computer. So it doesn't sound that great, to be honest with you. But the reason why I'm doing that is because I had ran into some computer issues last year. And I don't want to do the thing where I'm downloading audio files from the internet and putting them in Logic anymore. I don't want to risk crashing my computer again. But that's something that happened last year. But that's why I'm, recording audio straight from my phone into my computer. So that's why it doesn't sound that great. But if you go on Spotify and listen to the song or any streaming platform, you listen to the song, you listen to the horn arrangements, you'll notice that the horns on this record sound exactly like the horns on records like Triangle of Tenderness by Otis Redding. And, and even though the song kind of lacks sort of the feel-good, bubbly sort of vibes of last week's song, the chord structure of the song is still very much the song from last week as well. It's definitely, it has that vibe of, the three minor and the two minor, there's more of an emphasis on that. And, but the one thing I love about this record is how much the arrangement breathes with a song like this. I mean, the arrangement of the song just breathes so well. I mean, it's just beautiful, like the sound of a record like this, because you got those long notes with the horns, and then you got the melody sort of just dipping in and out. I mean the song definitely implies less is more tactics in terms of lyrics, because there's not much going on lyrically. The song tells a very simple story about somebody, but it doesn't really go into too much detail about them. And there's a lot of metaphorical imagery happening lyrically in this song too. It's a lot less literal than last week's song, but it's still like really, really good. And I think that it's one of those songs that is so beautiful. I mean, that horn arrangement is just great. I mean, I think it's one of the best horn arrangements from on a modern R&B soul record. I mean, it just has that sound big time. I mean, it's like, When you put this record on and you listen to that song, you automatically think of Otis Redding, Clarence Carter. I mean, it's the same kind of horn sound and the same kind of guitar playing. And the drums are really cool on this, too. The drums are great. And I love the bridge on this record, too, because it's a nice little break from the rest of the song, because, the chorus is basically your standard, 4-3-2 progression. It starts with the 4 major, 3 minor, 2 minor, and then the verses are your basic 1 major, 2 minor. But I mean, that's the thing, is that I love songs that have progressions like that. I think those progressions sound super good, to be honest with you. I mean, they're perfect for R&B soul records. I mean, the 3 minor and the 2 minor are the most soulful chords you're ever gonna play. In popular music. I mean, they just have a whole lot of soul to them. I mean, they just sound soulful. I mean, they sound soulful and, beautiful too. I mean, they just have a definitive characteristic to them, especially when you play them in the major key. I mean, people just cop out nowadays and only do songs in minor keys, but I love the feel of this record, how it's in a major key, but it just sounds amazing. This band has done everything from super hard rockers that are a lot like, again, Otis Redding, Eddie Floyd, Clarence Carter, to just full on ballads, like full like Southern soul, 6-8 kind of about 6-8 ballads. So I mean, it's really, really cool what this band can do, musically. I mean, and the lead singer is amazing too. I mean, and he has kind of a modern sound. I mean, he doesn't sound too dated, to be honest with you. I mean, but he definitely has a black sound, but again, like, I think he has a really good, powerful tenor voice, and it's kind of baritone sounding too, but it's still just amazing. I mean, his voice sounds like butter. And the female background vocals are really great too. I think they just have that 60s sound again, like Southern soul. I mean, this whole record is essentially a great modern example of what Southern soul sounds like now. I mean, it doesn't sound not too different from the 60s. It sounds exactly like the 60s, and that's great. I mean, I really love the sound of this record. It's just beautiful. And I think I love the fact that it's all real instruments. There's real guitar, bass, drums, and horns. I mean, shit. I mean, the guitar playing is really cool on this record, too. I really, really like the guitar playing on this song. I mean, it's very, very Jimmy Johnson, very Steve Cropper, a total Southern soul vibe on this record for sure. It's really, really good. I definitely think this record is worth listening to. And the bridge is cool too, because then you got that 3 major, the 3 dominant 7, you got that secondary dominant chord change happening, 3 dominant 7 to the 2 minor. I mean, this record's cool. I really, really like this song, and it's in my favorite musical key, B flat major. You guys should know this by now. You guys know that I love B flat major, but last week's song was in A major and it was right next door. So what do you know? I mean, it's definitely a cool song. And now we're going to talk about the lyrics for the song just for a little bit. Okay, so here's the thing about, modern songs by indie groups. It's difficult to actually find the lyrics for a lot of these songs. I mean, I really had to listen to the song a couple times to really sort of digest what was going on lyrically with this song, because it was kind of hard to just pick out the lyrics. Because, I mean, to be honest with you, all these like 60 songs that I talk about, you know, like it's super easy to find the lyrics because, you know, the songs came out many, many years ago and they're famous, most of them. I mean, these songs have been very successful. So they were hits. So it's all you have to do to find the lyrics, just pull. It's super easy to pull up the lyrics to these songs because, you know, because they are big hits. But this song was an album cut for an indie band that's on an indie label. So it's not very easy to find the lyrics for this song because it's not a well-known song by a super well-known band. I mean, you know, it's interesting because, like, these guys aren't well-known, but they have, like, you know, a big following, you know, a size enough indie following, you know. And actually, wait a minute, I actually did find the lyrics for this song. I literally just looked them up, you know, it's funny. Oh, now I can kind of understand what this song is about. Now I'm looking at the lyrics. You know, it's really interesting because I think that, the song, it's about somebody who gives their all to somebody else, you know, is would bend over backwards to somebody. And this guy is basically telling her, hey, you know, don't do that. I mean, you know, cause it's, don't put all your time, spend all your time and energy on other people as much, because it's not necessarily your responsibility to do that. I mean, the chorus is perfect, because literally the chorus was, don't put the world on your shoulders because it ain't your load to bear. And I think that's basically what he's saying. He's saying, look, it, you know, you're a great person, but don't spend every single minute of your life, you know, to some, you know, dedicated to somebody else, because it's not your responsibility to do that, really. And it's interesting because I think this may have been written about someone, but I mean, she, you know, it's basically, he obviously has a lot of respect for the girl, because literally, and it's interesting, you know, the first verse just goes, you spend the night in the hospital sitting next to your best friend. I mean, like, it's, you know, this girl's obviously really, really, really nice. And, you know, and it's interesting, because it's really hurting him that this girl is not taking the time for herself, especially when the lyrics goes, but you got to see, it's killing me the way you're carrying on. And I love the bridge when he says, feel the pressure rising, you know, building up inside you, don't know what to do, it's too much for one person to hold. And basically, the message of the song is, you know, he's basically telling the girl, hey, you know, don't spend so much time and energy on another person's life, because you don't really need to, and it's not your responsibility to do that. And I think he really nails in the song. And the song might be somewhat relatable, because you might know somebody who's like this, who's like super, super nice and literally bends over backwards for people all the time. Maybe a little too nice. Maybe she doesn't really spend enough time for herself. Maybe you know someone like that, like the person in the song. And I think that the song really, he's obviously talking about somebody specific, but it's possible that, you know, the song could have been written about somebody. But yeah, I mean, it's a great song. Love this group. And I think they just had a really, really killer sound, and just fantastic. And now, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit of history about, you know, this group, what I know. I mean, just a little bit about what I know. Okay, so this group was from Seattle, Washington, and they got together playing as a band, and I think they went to school at University of Seattle, Washington. That's where they got to school. That's where they went to school, and they were playing in the jazz bands, and they decide, hey, let's form a group. And you know, they've been signed to a label for a little bit, and I mean, I think that's a, I mean, they've done tours across the country. I mean, they've been at it for a while. I mean, you know, it's like, I, you know, to be honest with you, I don't even know the names of the individual members of the group, you know, because it's hard to find, you know, any information about them. I think there's actually, oh wait a minute, here's some information about the band. So the band members are Jerry Katz, Mark Hunter, and Tom Eddy, and they went to school at University of Washington, and they were known, they became a trio known as the Honey Nut Horns with Bernard, and then they hooked up with a trio called the Honey Nut Horns, Brendan Carter, Ivan Smith, and Levi Gills, and they started playing jazz songs on the school balcony, and the two bands formed together called the Dip. So it was Jerry Katz, Mark Hunter, and Tom Eddy formed a band with the Honey Nut Horns, and they called themselves the Dip. And they played, you know, University of Washington a lot. They played around the Seattle area, and they were all jazz musicians. But they wanted to do more mainstream stuff. So basically, you know, and they've done tours with Duran Dunn and Indications, and you know, they did a tour with them in Japan and in Europe. And they were going to go on tour in 2020, but they obviously canceled it because of COVID. And then they're on tour again right now in 2022. So, and they have some gigs with Late Street Dive. Tom Eddy's the lead singer. Jared Cass is the drummer. Mark Hunter's playing bass. Jacob Ludgren's on lead guitar. Brendan Carter's on trumpet. Levi Gill's on tenor sax. And Evan Smith is on baritone sax. So there you have it. I don't know who the female background singers are. That I don't know. But they're on Dual Tone Records, and they're also on Cool Mind Records, which are both indie labels. And they formed in 2013, so they've been together for a little bit now, and they put out three albums, one in 2015, one in 2019, this year in 2022, and they've done three EPs. Won't be coming back in 2016. Dip Plays It Cool in October 2020, and then the Dip in 2015. Dip Delivers in February in 2019, and then Sticking With It in March of 2022. So they've done three albums and two EPs. So this group has put out a lot of music. So there you have it. A little bit of background information on them. Again, they're an upcoming group, so they still have a lot more to do as far as their historical history. I mean, you know, they haven't quite done anything, you know, anything major yet. But yeah. So that concludes this week's episode. So that concludes episode number 177. Of my 60 Music Podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. I'm Sam Looms, and if you've never heard of this band before, and you're like, wow, these guys sound great, I love their sound. I mean, they're new, but they have a great vintage 60 sound. I love these guys. If you like them, please email me at samlzwilliamicloud.com. You can also reach out to me on Instagram at iHeartOldies, and follow me on TikTok as well, iHeartOldies. You know, and please subscribe to the premium subscription version of this podcast. You know, there you'll be able to find all the current interviews I'm doing. Plus, you'll get to hear a couple songs off my next EP if you do that. Once you get the final mixes back, I haven't gotten back, but hopefully I'll get them soon. So please go do that. I'm almost done with this EP. I got one more session left, and that is today. And I'll probably be done by the time I'm done doing this podcast episode. And yeah, I'm very excited to put this thing out, man. I'm super nervous about it too, but it's going to be great. Can't wait to release these songs. Okay. So also another thing you can do is you can check out the two interviews I did last year with Hawk Magazine, shout out LA. I gotta get interviewed again. You know, I love to I love being interviewed, to be honest with you. I mean, I love, you know, talking about the stories behind my songs and talking about my podcast. I mean, it's nice to get featured in things. I wish I could do that again, but I haven't gotten hit up by any publications, so hopefully I'll get to do that again soon. I don't know. But yeah, so please go do that. Love it if you could check that out. Check those two interviews out, because I talk about a lot about myself. You'll learn a lot about me from reading those interviews. So please go do that. And also, check out the last EP you put out last year, too. Linked in the description of this podcast, as well as those two interviews. Please go do that, because those songs are great. And you'll like these ones, too. The ones off my next EP. But I'm sure you'll love these ones as well. Please go do that. Definitely let me know what you think of that, of the songs off the EP. You can let me know what you think of those songs by samltwilliamicloud.com. You can also reach out to me on Instagram at iHeartOldies. Please go also check out the official Spotify and YouTube playlist of this podcast. You'll be able to find all songs talked about on my show so far, including the ones I mentioned in interview episodes, but not the premium interviews that I've done recently. Please go do that. We'd love it if you could, you know, you'll hear this week's song and last week's song too. And yeah, I mean, these songs definitely have a similar sound. I mean, that's the other thing. One thing I want to mention before I end this episode, this is Blue Eye Soul. like this whole genre is basically white guys trying to sound soulful, trying to sound black. And, you know, it's great that this genre of music carries on in today's world, you know, from the occasions in 1968 to right now with the Dip and Eli Paperboy Reed. So cool that these guys are still doing that. It's great that, you know, white musicians are still heavily influenced by black music from the past and they try to sound like this. Very, very cool right now. So, yeah. So please go do that. Check out there's two playlists for YouTube and Spotify. And, you know, definitely if you have any ideas for songs to talk about next, I should talk about next on my podcast that I haven't yet. Please email those ideas to me at samlzboy@icloud.com. Also, check out the official Red Bull merch store for this podcast. You'll be able to find all the super cool merch items that, you know, are for sale that you can buy. That will also help me out financially with my podcast, too. Please go do that. We'll love if you can check out that logo and let me know what you think of that. It's super duper dope. I really think you guys would like that logo plus the price. Hopefully you guys like the price of each item in the store. I can adjust them if they're too expensive. But anyways, so please go do that. And I'm very excited to finish up this EP. I'm so excited to release these songs because these songs are going to sound amazing. They're going to sound so much better than they were than my last EP, but it's going to be great. So please go check out that EP or my last EP. And I'll keep you guys posted when I get the final mixes back for this upcoming EP, which is coming out soon. This EP is called An Old Soul with New and Reimagined Things. That's the name of it. An Old Soul with New and Reimagined Things. And that's my name, my upcoming EP. The last one the link to that in the description of this episode of this podcast is Turquoise Apricot. Please go listen to that. My artist name is Sam L. Williams because I changed my name because there's someone else. His name is Sam Williams. He's a huge guy. He has a lot of following on Spotify. He's the direct descendant of Hank Williams. So, yeah. So, I'm Sam Williams. And thank you guys for joining me for this week's episode of my podcast, The Millennial Throwback Machine. Until next week, please. Keep things groovy.